Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 32 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. Today, I wanted to share with you some basics, five ideas to help you to change your perspective. And these are five ideas or five beliefs, if you like, that I have that I keep sharing with clients. And particularly over the last couple of weeks, these five things have come up over and over again. And so I thought to myself, well, instead of telling each individual that I meet these five things, I would just stick it on a podcast and then everyone can hear it all at once. So here we go. These are five ideas or five beliefs that inform my work with clients. So they inevitably come out pretty soon once we start working together because it's how I see the world. And I'm not saying that I'm necessarily right and I haven't always seen the world this way, but it's how I see the world now. And inevitably, I think a coach can never be completely neutral. To pretend that your coach is neutral is to live in a sort of fantasy world. I think actually all coaches have a perspective. They are human beings. And in my case, I tend to put my perspective out there a little more so that the client knows what it is. In the end, if the client disagrees or thinks something different as a result of hearing what I think or the perspective that I take, that's great. All we're really doing and all I'm really doing when I stick these ideas out there into the world is saying, here's another way to look at it. And by looking at it another way, you see different options. You see that the way that you see the world isn't the only way. There are other ways. And that is what, for me, leadership is always about. It's about broadening the spectrum with which you view the world. So as I say, I haven't always seen the world this way, and I may very well change the way I see the world in future. But the more I work on myself with these ideas as the foundation, and the more I bring these ideas to my clients as the foundation of our work, the more I'm getting better results, to be honest. So I want to invite you. I said in one of the very early podcasts that one of the ways that I help clients is by looking at situations through different eyes. Basically, I stand on a different mountain to the mountain that they're standing on. And so I see the view from a different perspective. So what I'd like to do is to invite you, come on, come and stand on my mountain here. Come over here and stand next to me and let's, for the next 20 minutes or so, look at the world a little bit differently. Number one. This is a question that I ask myself quite frequently and that I ask clients quite frequently. What's your business? So the thinking behind this question, what's your business? We all have two jobs. The job that we were hired to do and a second job, which is influencing other people. Trying to get people to think about you in a different way, trying to impress, trying to be valuable, trying to persuade, trying to change people's minds. This second job of influencing takes a huge amount of time, and it always also takes your focus away from who you are. Because as I said in last week's podcast, it becomes all about other people and how other people need to change. For me, your business is your thinking, your behavior, your attitudes, your beliefs, your ability to change. That's your business. Other people's ability to change and other people's ideas and other people's behavior is their business. And I would always encourage clients to focus on their own business, certainly to focus on their own business first. What's really important to emphasize here is that just because you're focusing on your own behavior and your own inner world, that isn't an excuse to ignore your impact on people, to not care about other people, to not take them into account ever. It's just that to really connect with other people and to really be coming from this generous place towards other people, you must connect with yourself first. So this doesn't mean that you don't care about people. It doesn't mean that you have carte blanche to treat people badly. I find it very frustrating when people say to me, well, you know, I just told her what I think, you know, that's me. I don't mince my words. What you see is what you get. I was just being honest. This kind of stuff lacks self-awareness. The sorts of people who say stuff like that are not the kind of people I'm talking about. I'm talking about looking inside for your own motivations, your own hang-ups, your own drivers, your own assumptions, not just operating without awareness of your impact. But when people do invest time in having a long, hard look at themselves and being as dedicated to their own change and to their own growth as maybe they have been in the past about how other people need to change and how other people need to grow, then we really start to get somewhere. It was a big breakthrough for me when I noticed that I cared so much about what other people thought of me. And I realised it informed nearly everything. The clothes I wore, how obsessed I was with keeping the house nice just in case someone popped over, which, by the way, they hardly ever did. What I said, what I held back. That concern for what other people would think of me and trying to manipulate how other people saw me was making my decisions. A million little decisions every day. And when I started to notice that and I started to consciously let go of needing people to see me in a particular way and even let go of the belief that I had any influence over that in any case, then it felt a great relief. So this idea, this little question of what's my business? Am I in someone else's business or am I in my own? That's something that very often comes up at the beginning of working with a client, and I wanted to share it with you. Number two, something I hear so much, and people don't exactly say it, but they kind of imply it, that other people are probably idiots. Well, other people probably aren't idiots. I start from the belief that other people probably aren't idiots. Last week in the podcast, it was all about other people being so annoying. And yes, other people can be very frustrating, very annoying, but they're probably not stupid. People are doing the very best they can with the information they have. If you were sitting where they sit with the same information that they have and the same experiences that they have, you would do exactly the same thing as them. You would have to. And this lack of curiosity, being able to brush it away by saying, I'm surrounded by idiots, or people don't care as much as I do, or, well, you know, why aren't they more like me? This lack of curiosity is a really big problem if you want to think of yourself as a leader. And we have that same lack of curiosity when it comes to our competition too. Very often I will ask clients, tell me about your competition, and they brush it away by saying, they're just not as clever as us. They don't have such good relationships with the client. They're not doing what we're doing. They don't have as much talent as we do. I think that they're not taking their competition seriously. There is no reason why their competitors aren't as clever or why they don't care just as much. When you underestimate people, you miss opportunities for sure, and you also miss threats. So something I'm very, very keen to pick clients up on is any sense that they are underestimating the people in their organization or the people outside of their organization, because I start from a place that other people probably are not idiots. Number three. This is something that's come up so much over the last few weeks, and not surprising because it's something that I've been very aware of too. It's a little three-word statement, be here now. This is something that I've been working on for about 2 years. I'm starting to see some improvement in it now. It's been very, very challenging for me because I've spent most of my life doing things today in order to get a result tomorrow. So doing work that I don't really, really love because it's going to be good for my reputation, good for my credibility. It's going to bring money into the business at some future time. But right now, I don't particularly enjoy it and I don't particularly believe in it. And I have definitely fallen into that trap. I've definitely ended up taking courses so that I wasn't terribly interested in. I mean, even my law degree. Why did I take a degree in law? I had no intention of becoming a lawyer. I took a law degree because I thought it would impress future employers. And so I spent 4 years of my life studying something I had no interest in for some future outcome. And I think that we do that so much. It's hardwired into our society that we make sacrifices today for some future payoff. The problem is that by the time we get to that future payoff, and that's even if it is possible to manipulate the future to such an extent that you can guarantee that the sacrifice you make today will have the result that you want in future. But even let's say you can somehow manipulate the future in that way, very often by the time people get to that future, they're off onto the next thing because there's no part of themselves that is trained to really be here now, to really appreciate the moment. We're always thinking about the next thing. And something that was very powerful for me recently was when I realized that little puppy Casey, who's only 4 months old now, when little puppy Casey is 13, I will be 60. And 13 years doesn't seem very long, certainly not to have a dog, but 60 does seem like I will want to be at a certain place in my life by then. And that isn't about external things, that isn't about material things. I imagine myself at 60 being somebody who is quite peaceful and someone who is really present and someone who's really enjoying their lives. But I will never learn how to do that unless I start doing it now. None of this is to say that you don't strive, that you don't have hopes and dreams. But it's the delayed gratification thing that is that putting up with something now, the slog of life now, for some future payoff that I'm increasingly having a problem with and that I'm challenging clients about. We never get there. Our plans hardly ever pan out the way that we had expected. And even if we do, it doesn't feel the way we expected it to feel. And because we're not trained to be in the moment, we don't appreciate it. Once we have it, we're always thinking about what's next. Number four, the fourth belief or idea that may change your perspective is that work doesn't need to hurt. Work doesn't need to hurt. It doesn't have to hurt the people that work in your organization. It doesn't have to hurt the community. It doesn't have to hurt the planet. But when you start with a belief that work does hurt, you exclude options. You come to think that it must be a slog. It must require 18 hours a day. It must require being on call 24/7. It must require driving people so hard. It must require sacrifice. But what if it doesn't? What if work doesn't have to hurt? Because I don't believe that work does have to hurt. I don't believe it has to require sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. I don't believe it does require 18 hours a day. And I love to challenge this stuff. I still want business to be commercial because I still want businesses to be here in future if they're doing good work and providing a service or a product that has value in the world. I still want people to be able to make money so that they can spread that money around, so that they can have the things that money buys. But at what cost? When we start to factor in the true cost of that profit, the profit becomes rather meager. The cost of making it was too great. Life is important. Be here now. Work does not need to hurt. And finally, something I have mentioned before, but I think because it comes up so often and so early when I'm working with clients that I want to bundle it up with this podcast today. Leadership isn't something you do to other people. That's number five. when we see leadership as something you do to other people, it's a focus outward, not inward. I think that leadership is an inner journey. I've said it before, it relates to my first point about what's your business. Only your business is your business. But as soon as it's about how to get other people to do things, then you lose what leadership is really about, because that inner journey requires time to think, to reflect, to talk aloud. But when you're thinking of leadership as something you have to do to other people, then it's all about action. We're so fast in our world to move to, what am I going to do? What's the action I need to take? And there's far too little thinking. And by thinking, I don't mean planning time. I'm not talking about taking the time to plan. I'm talking about taking the time to think deeply, to ask what's really true, what matters, what assumptions underlie the opinions that I have, how much of my ego is getting in my way, how much fear is getting in my way, how much have I bought into what other people believe is normal, and that the habits that are so ubiquitous that they appear as fact but are really just beliefs. This is where I think as a leader you need to be asking these kind of questions of yourself. And when attitudes are binary, so you think to yourself, oh, I'm too nice, I need to be more nasty, or we've done everything we can to get other people to step up but they just won't, or well, you always get a few who don't want to change, or in this industry, in this part of the country, in this kind of economy, in this company, it's always going to be tougher because ... fill in the blank. Whenever you get this binary attitudes, for me, that is a signal that you're not thinking deeply enough. It must be more complex than that. There must be other options between being too nice or being nasty. There must be other options besides you'll always get a few who don't want to change. Leaders must be thinkers and they must be rethinkers. Otherwise, how can they lead? Many old style boss type leaders would not take the time to do this. They would think of it as navel gazing. They think that their job is to crack the whip and to keep everyone moving really, really fast. But actually, I think today's leaders owe it to themselves and to the people in their organisation and the people that their organisation serves and the community at large to take time to question these underlying beliefs. Because frankly, we cannot go on as we are. We cannot go on creating environments where we expect people to do their best work, but we're killing them with the excessive expectations that we have on them and the hours that we expect and the kind of dedication that we demand. We cannot go on like this, demanding ever-increasing profits year after year after year, no matter what's going on out there in the wider world. We can't go on sacrificing our own lives so that at some point we'll be able to stop and enjoy the life we're living, when that point may never come. Our life is here, right now. So that's it for this week. I hope there's been a lot to think about there. I know there has. And I'd be really keen, as ever, to hear any of your thoughts or ideas, any beliefs that have come up for you or that you've realised you're carrying around, that you have always assumed are fact. But maybe as a result of listening to this podcast today and pondering some of the ideas, you're starting to question those beliefs. I'd love to hear about that. So with information about how you can stay in touch with me and the rest of the team here at That People Thing, here is the gorgeous Ivy Palmer.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her, Blair@thatpeoplething.com. But most most importantly, we want people to be able to find out about the podcast, and you can help with that. Please share the iTunes link on social media. Leadership is changing fast, and with your help, more people will discover how to make a difference and create organizations that are a force for good in the world.